Okay, can everybody hear me okay? All good there in the back? Can you hear me okay? Great. Okay, welcome to deploying reporting services in SharePoint mode. Why and how? Thank you very much for coming to the session. I hope you guys have all enjoyed the conference so far as it winds down to a close. I certainly have. My name is Ricardo Muti. I'm a senior program manager on the SQL Server BI team at Microsoft in Redmond. I've been on the team for a little over 3 years. I've worked on reporting services. I've worked on PowerView. For those who don't know, the backend for PowerView is actually still reporting services in SharePoint mode, so I've worked on both of those. By the way, if you have any questions on reporting services, on PowerView, whether related to this session or not, definitely come find me down at the Data Insights booth in the Expo Hall. I'm going to be there from 1:30 to about 3:15. So you can come on down there and bring your questions about reporting services or PowerView. What I want to cover in this session, I want you to get three things out of it. Number one, why do you want or maybe even need reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode? Number two, how does it work? And number three, how do you set it up and get it all up and running? Just out of curiosity, how many people attended my session yesterday on PowerView? Okay, a few. So a lot of people love PowerView and they like that session because it's all about sexy visuals and it's something that everybody's interested in. And I have to admit, that's a sexier topic than this one is. This is not a very sexy topic, but sexy visuals requires infrastructure for sexy visuals. So if this is your job to set that up, or if you at least need to know what's involved in doing that, what you need to license, what you need to deploy, this is really important information for you to know. So I hope you get some useful information out of this session. The way we're going to cover that information is with a mix of some slides and some demos. Starting with, when we talk about reporting services being integrated into SharePoint mode, a lot of BI vendors, not just Microsoft, talk about their BI platform being integrated into SharePoint or having SharePoint integration. But not all SharePoint integration is created equal. There are very varying levels of integration in terms of depth of integration into SharePoint. Some are very shallow and some are much deeper. So what is our level of integration with SharePoint? We'll talk about that and exactly what functionality is integrated into SharePoint. Now, when you deploy reporting services, you have a choice between native mode, which was what originally all we had in reporting services. It was not deeply integrated into SharePoint. You have a choice between native mode and you have a choice between that and SharePoint integrated mode. Why should you choose SharePoint integrated mode? What are the benefits? And then on the flip side, what are the limitations or are there any drawbacks that you need to be aware of? We'll cover that. Then we'll talk about the architecture, which is interesting, an interesting topic in this case because you have multiple products and multiple components within those products that all need to integrate together and work together for your end users to have the end-to-end experience. You've got reporting services, which is part of SQL Server. You've got analysis services, also part of SQL Server. You've got SharePoint, which is a separate product. And now with PowerView, as you may have seen, you've got PowerView integrated into Excel, which in the browser scenario means PowerView integrated into Excel services, part of SharePoint as well. So a lot of different components that you need to license, deploy, and make sure they're all hooked up together. So we'll talk about what that architecture looks like. Then we'll switch over to some demos. I'm actually going to go through and show you, after you install the bits, what you actually need to configure to get everything, all of the scenarios up and running. Classic RS reports, PowerView reports, PowerView sheets and Excel workbooks, everything. Now, for anybody who's seen me give this demo last year at TechEd Europe, there is a major update to this session because last year we had not yet disclosed PowerView integration into Excel in the Office 2013 release. So I could not show anything about PowerView integration into Excel services. I couldn't talk about that architecture. So a lot of new information about that. And we'll do a demo of what you need to do to make sure that you get all the authentication scenarios working. When you have PowerView sheets and Excel workbooks, basically the PowerView sheets connect through Excel workbook connections to different external data sources. And you have multiple options for how you can configure the identity or the authentication to work against those different data sources. You need to do setup to make sure that all of those scenarios work for your users. And that's one of the more complicated pieces that we'll show. If you're not interested at all in security, and some people aren't, this may not be your favorite part of the session, but again, it is very important information. Your users are just going to expect that to work, so you need to know how to get that set up. So if that all sounds good, we'll continue on. As important as what we're going to cover is what we're not going to cover. Setting up BI, setting up SharePoint, all these different products is a very, very broad topic. We can't possibly cover all of it in one session. So I want you to have the right expectations for what you're going to learn in this session and what you're not going to learn and what you're going to have to get from other sessions or other resources, or maybe it's something you already know. So for example, this is not a this is a 300-level session in which you're expected to know a little bit about reporting services, a little bit about SharePoint. You don't have to be an expert, but you have to have the basics. We're not going to do a 101 intro to reporting services or to SharePoint. We're also not going to go into depth about the deployment or administration of SharePoint itself, aside from BI. There are other sessions, other resources where you can learn about setting up SharePoint. It's a very, very broad topic. This is about if you have a SharePoint farm or if you can get one set up, how do you integrate reporting services into it and get that up and running? We're not going to cover deployment and administration of Power Pivot for SharePoint because there's a separate session from one of my colleagues in the AS, the analysis services team, on setting up Power Pivot for SharePoint. So you can go and look that up as well. We'll talk briefly about it. And then finally, the initial installation of SQL Server reporting services, actually running SQL setup. I will talk about it. I will show a couple quick screenshots of it, but it's really not that interesting and not worth doing a live demo for. It's a couple of screens in SQL setup that I'll show you. It's kind of boring and pointless to actually run SQL setup in this presentation. So like I said, not all integration into SharePoint in terms of BI products is created equal. So what level or depth of functionality do we have integrated into SharePoint? When any BI vendor talks about having SharePoint integration, they're usually talking about having this depth of integration, report viewing, meaning that you can go, or your end user can go to SharePoint, and they can hit a page, and that page, maybe the whole page embeds a report, and they can view the report within a SharePoint page, or your SharePoint page has web parts on it, and the web parts show reports or parts of reports. We've actually had that since before we had anything that we called SharePoint integrated mode. In reporting services native mode since SQL Server 2000, we shipped web parts that would integrate into SharePoint, and then you could point the web parts at your report server and at particular reports. That's a very shallow level of integration. What about when it comes to actually deploying these reports in the first place? How do you manage them? How do you manage permissions on them? Who can see these reports? Who can edit them? How do you create a subscription to a report? Things other than just viewing them on a page. There's a whole lot more that you need to do with reports. If you don't have this depth of SharePoint integration, which most products don't, including even reporting services native mode, you probably have to go to some other tool or some other portal to do this. For example, in reporting services native mode, if you want to set permissions on a report or you want to create a subscription on a report, you can't do it through SharePoint. SharePoint, this file, this report does not exist in SharePoint. Just the web frame or the web part does. You have to go to a separate portal called Report Manager to do any of that sort of stuff. So it's kind of a fragmented experience. When in SQL Server 2005, Service Pack 2, we shipped what we first called SharePoint integrated mode. And that's when we integrated the catalog of reports and data sources into SharePoint. So your catalog isn't this separate thing. It's actually just reports are now documents like any other documents that live inside SharePoint sites and SharePoint document libraries. The way you create, the way you manage permissions on them is just through document level security, the same way you do on any other documents within SharePoint. The way you create subscriptions on them is with a context menu action in SharePoint, because we ship an add-in for SharePoint that provides those context menu actions. There's still the final piece, which we didn't have for a while, which was, although we had this add-in for SharePoint, it was very much all that front-end stuff. You could create subscriptions through these context menu actions. You add content types for different types of reports and data sources. But when it really comes down to it, the initial, the real core of reporting services, the engine, the server that's doing the heavy lifting and the processing, is actually not running inside SharePoint or deeply integrated into SharePoint. It was a separate Windows service. To configure that service after deployment, you used a separate tool. You did not use SharePoint Central Admin like you use with some other services. You used Reporting Services Configuration Tool. If you wanted to do scale-out later or back up your encryption keys or do any of that sort of stuff, you had to go outside of SharePoint to Reporting Services Configuration Tool. So again, it was inconsistent with how you would manage, say, Excel services or Power Pivot or any of those other services. So in SQL Server 2012, we made an architecture change. We changed from a Windows service and wrapped it in a new SharePoint service application. So it now runs the reporting services engine as a service application, just like Excel services or Power Pivot or Secure Store or Performance Point or any of those other services. And the way you do your configuration after initial deployment or initial installation is through SharePoint Central Admin, just like any of those other services. So it's a consistent management experience. The way you do scale out is the same way you scale out any other SharePoint service application. Everything's through Central Admin. You do not use reporting services configuration tool anymore. So why should you use SharePoint integrated mode over native mode? The main answer is because we as Microsoft want to have one portal. In the past, we've had a bunch of portals. Every product, you know, had its own portal. We had Report Manager. You had SharePoint, Windows SharePoint services. You know, you had Commerce Server. You had Project Server. They all had their own web application that they would create. We want to move more and more towards having one unified portal, and that's definitely SharePoint, which is the most popular intranet and portal software. And for your users, definitely, you want them to have a consistent experience as well. If they want to look at reports, they want to search for reports, they want to create subscriptions, they want to do that all through SharePoint and never have to jump to anything else. IT, same thing. When they want to manage these services, they want to go through Central Admin and do everything there in one consistent way. Similarly, you get one consistent look and feel because everything is integrated into SharePoint. You don't have to worry about, you know, Report Manager or some other portal looking different from SharePoint. If you think about reporting services in native mode and the catalog that it gives you, yes, you basically have a hierarchical catalog. You can have folders and subfolders and so on, but that still scales only to a point. With SharePoint, you have not only a folder hierarchy within a library, but you can have multiple libraries within a site. You can have sites can have subsites. You can have different site collections. It scales to a much greater degree. Imagine a company where you have different subsidiaries or different departments or divisions, teams within those divisions, projects that those teams run. You can have this whole site hierarchy and site collection hierarchy. And so you have much more support for multi-site environments and greater isolation among those different sites. Finally, because these, because you have these documents, these report documents, basically like any other documents within SharePoint, you can in some cases take advantage of general SharePoint functionality for documents. Like, for example, when somebody uploads a new report, you want to fire off an alert to somebody, or you want to kick off a workflow, you can do that. We as reporting services don't really have any special support for these scenarios or special integration for it, but if you want to do something custom that gets fired off as a result of publishing a report or changing a report, in some cases you can find that you can do that through general SharePoint functionality and extensibility. Security, I already mentioned. You have document level security managed in the same way as you manage security on your Excel workbooks or anything else in SharePoint. So that's a better experience. Manageability in the same way. If you want to do scale out, you want to do backup of your encryption keys, any of these sorts of things done in the standard SharePoint way now, all unified into SharePoint. And then you have features of reporting services that are actually only available in SharePoint integrated mode. One of them is called data alerts. If you guys are familiar with subscriptions and reporting services, the idea is that you can schedule, you can create a schedule, and on a certain schedule, like on the end of the month or every Monday morning, I can automatically, unattended, render a particular report to a particular format and then deliver it to users, you know, usually by email or by file drop or something like that. Data alerts is similar in that it is scheduled execution of reports, but it's a little bit of a different scenario. It is essentially event-driven reporting or reporting by exception. Instead of just giving me the report every Monday morning, I can say, within this report, if any of these values, if any of these sales numbers, or if any of these, you know, server uptime numbers, or whatever your situation is, if any of them exceed a threshold that I specify or meet, satisfy a certain condition, I want to know about it. Send me an email, and don't just send me an email with the entire report. Send me an email with these specific values that triggered the condition. If any of them don't satisfy, if none of them satisfy that condition, then don't bother sending me anything I don't need to know. I only want to know when certain conditions are met. So it's a very useful feature, only available in SharePoint integrated mode. And then the big one, which is PowerView. You're probably hearing a lot about PowerView. If you want to run it in the browser, it must be reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode. It is not supported in native mode. So that alone is a huge reason to go with SharePoint integrated mode. There are some limitations, but as you can see, they are greatly outweighed by the benefits of choosing SharePoint integrated mode. One is a feature called linked reports. If you're familiar with linked reports in native mode, basically you can create a report that is a variation of another report. It's linked to a master report, and it overrides some properties of that master report. So for example, you can run it with different default parameter values, or it could have different caching settings. Depending on what you're using it for, you may have a workaround. The most common use case is you want to have a variation of a report with different default parameter values. Luckily, you can specify and override parameter values in reporting services through the URL. So in SharePoint, you could just create a link to a URL that overrides some of the parameter values. And you even have a content type in SharePoint called link to document, so you can make the link look like a document. It'll look kind of like a report, and people will click on it, but it's just going to a link that will go to the main report and override some of the parameter values. So in that most common case, you have a workaround. If you were using it to override caching settings, it's something that you can't really override through the URL, so you don't really have a workaround there. In Report Manager, there's a page called My Subscriptions, where you can see a list of all your subscriptions to any reports that you've subscribed to or any subscriptions that you own. That page doesn't really translate to SharePoint integrated mode and doesn't exist in SharePoint integrated mode. So that's one thing you don't have. To be absolutely clear, though, subscriptions, everything else having to do with subscriptions, including even data-driven subscriptions, is supported in SharePoint integrated mode. It's just this one page, this one view that you don't have in SharePoint integrated mode. And then finally, if you've written a custom security extension, the security model is different in SharePoint. Those won't work in SharePoint. But SharePoint has its own security extensibility mechanism. It's based on ASP.NET membership, so you could write a custom membership provider and use that. So moving on into how does this work? What does the architecture look like? If you think about it, you've got something running on the client. So for example, you could have something running a report viewer control. You could be using Report Builder in connected mode, which embeds a Windows Forms report viewer control. You could have your own custom application that is running, that is embedding the WinForms report viewer control. You could have a custom web application that's embedding the WebForms report viewer control, which is running Ajax code on the client. Or another example of a client application would be PowerView. The Silverlight application runs on the client. These things both connect to reporting services on the server side. They connect to the front-end SharePoint web servers. And they connect to various web servers and web services and HTTP endpoints on those front-end web servers. The thing that you need installed there that's running there that provides those endpoints and those services is the reporting services add-in for SharePoint products. That needs to be installed on all of your SharePoint front-end web servers in the farm. Now, that is a component that you can install through SQL setup, but it's also a freely downloadable web component. You do not need a SQL Server license for this component, which means that you do not necessarily need a SQL Server license for all of your front-end web servers if all you need is this. So you can download this from the web. Just make sure it's on all your front-end web servers. This is what we've had since SQL Server 2005, provides a lot of the front-end web servers, the front-end client applications, and these front-end web services. But it delegates a lot of the real work to the core engine, which runs in that service application that I mentioned on the mid-tier, on the SharePoint app servers. Here, this is a SQL Server license component. You need to install SQL Server. That's the only way to install this component. You need to install reporting services, SharePoint integrated mode, from SQL Server on your app servers. Unlike the add-in on the front end, you do not need to install this on all your app servers. It's just a question of scale. You can install it on one or more. It can be a subset of your app servers. And then reporting services is connecting to, depending on what your report is configured to connect to, the data sources for those reports. It could be connecting to a SQL relational database. It could be connecting to analysis services databases. It could be connecting to third-party data sources like Oracle, non-relational, XML, OData, whatever. And if you're running a classic reporting services report, it could connect to all of these data sources directly. We have direct data extension for all of these different types of data sources. If you're using PowerView, it's a little bit different. We always connect directly to analysis services, and it is analysis services that in turn may connect to various other data sources. But either way, you're connecting to all these other data sources. This is, in many cases, outside of the SharePoint farm on different physical machines in a different physical tier. They don't have to be. I'm showing you the four possible tiers here. This could, in an extreme hypothetical scenario, all be on one machine like it is on my demo. But it could be as many as four physical tiers. So that's kind of the architecture right there. So this is what's new since the last time we did this session. PowerView and Excel services. A lot of people have questions about how this works and how all the different products come together. You have the same four tiers. Let's say you open up a workbook, an Excel workbook in SharePoint. You just click on it. It opens up in, that actually should say Excel Web Access, but it opens up in Excel Web Access. That connects to some web services in Excel on the front-end web server. And then, much like reporting services, this is a common pattern in SharePoint, it delegates a lot of the real work, the real number crunching, to Excel Calculation Services, which is a service application on the mid-tier. That's something that's available with SharePoint Enterprise Edition. And then you may know, if you've seen sessions about PowerView, including my session yesterday about PowerView, that your PowerView sheets or your pivot tables can connect to one of two things in Excel 2013 workbooks. They could connect to the data model, the tabular database that's embedded inside of that same workbook. If that's the case, what happens when you hit a sheet or a pivot table that connects to that model? Excel Calculation Services will stream that model, pull it out of the workbook, and stream it to an analysis services database and kind of mount it in that database instance. This is a special instance of analysis services that you install in a special mode, a deployment mode called Power Pivot mode. Again, that other session about deploying Power Pivot will tell you more about this. And then you register it with Excel services so it knows where to stream those models. In order to get that, by the way, you need that. That is now, when you see it in gray, that's a SQL Server component, not an Excel services or SharePoint component. So you need SQL Server 2012 SP1 BI edition or higher. So BI edition or Enterprise edition. If you're connecting to an external model, not the embedded data model, then Excel Calculation Services would just be making an MS OLAP connection to another SQL Analysis Services instance that you have specified in the connection string for the connection. Now, what happens when you switch to a PowerView sheet? We load PowerView, the Silverlight application, on the clients within Excel Web Access. And then everything actually kind of works the same. Initially, we connect to SQL, the reporting services add-in for SharePoint products, the same front-end web servers. It does not go to Excel web services. You're still dependent on reporting services, which means, for this scenario, you need reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode. So you need the add-in, still delegates a lot of the back-end work to the service application, which needs to be set up. And then, again, the data flow or the connection flow differs depending on what we're connecting to. If we're connecting to the embedded data model, what happens is reporting services just opens up a connection to the connection string that we get flown to us through Excel services. ADOMD.net, which is the data provider that we connect through, negotiates with Excel Calculation Services to say, does this user have permission to read this workbook? And if so, please tell me where you streamed that model. And then give me the connection string so I can connect to AS, and then we go and connect to AS. If we have an external connection, we just get a direct connection string that tells us here's where the AS instance, the server and database name is, and then we go and open up a connection to that. So that's how the end-to-end flow works. Switch over to a demo very shortly. I just want to give you a little overview of my demo environment. I've got everything on a single server, but all of this applies if you were to do a multi-server, multi-tier farm like I just showed. I've got Windows Server 2012, SharePoint Server 2013 Enterprise. The reason I have Enterprise is because I need Excel services, and that's only available in Enterprise. And then I've got SQL Server 2012 SP1 BI Edition. SP1 is very important because the Office and Excel integration depends on SP1. Specifically, the components that I've installed, the database engine, obviously, to back my SharePoint installation and host the reporting services catalog, a couple instances of analysis services, one in a standalone tabular mode, and another in Power Pivot mode to serve those embedded data models in those workbooks. And then I've installed reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode. Like I said, I won't cover Power Pivot setup in detail, so definitely check out the other session if you're interested in the details. But if you want to get a BI, a SharePoint farm up and running, and you know you want it for BI, one of the quickest ways to do it is to run Power Pivot for SharePoint setup. Run SharePoint setup, but then you just install the bits. You don't have to configure anything. And then you run Power Pivot setup from SQL Server setup. The option that you will have will be to install Power Pivot for SharePoint. And then after you run that installation, it will run the Power Pivot configuration tool, which is a really great tool that will actually go and analyze your SharePoint farm and see anything that you haven't configured yet. It will see what still needs to be configured, and it will automatically configure it for you. And at the end of that process, you've got a SharePoint site collection, you've got Power Pivot for SharePoint installed, and you've got everything up and running. Everything that is except reporting services, which is where we pick up. So we run SQL Server 2012 setup again, and you need to install reporting services. There are two separate components, one for the front-end add-in and the other for the mid-tier service application. In this case, I'm installing both on one server, on one tier, so you can see that I've checked both boxes. If you had separate web server tiers and app server tiers, you would only check one of those boxes on each. And then after, if you were installing native mode, you might be used to having the option to install and configure reporting services, which basically runs reporting services configuration tool within setup, or to just install it and configure it later. In SharePoint integrated mode now, you only have the latter option, to install it now because you configure it in SharePoint Central Admin later. So with that, we'll switch over to a demo. Okay, so here I am in SharePoint Central Admin. And like I said, the starting point is I've installed reporting services for SharePoint, and I have just installed the bits and not done anything else. So we need to pick up and do the configuration. The first thing I want to check is that the service is actually running. So I'll go to SharePoint Central Administration and click on Manage Services on Server. And if I scroll down, you'll see SQL Server Reporting Services. Right there, SQL Server Reporting Services, and it is started. So it's already running. We're good. The next thing I want to do is I want to go to Manage Service Applications. And here we see our list of service applications. You see the ones that I've got. I've got Power Pivot that was installed from the Power Pivot add-in. I've got Excel Services, Secure Store. I do not have reporting services. So I want to go to New and then create a reporting services application, service application. Whoops, I clicked on that by accident, but you'll see it there. A list of different kinds of service applications that you can install. And I want to create reporting services. Now, you may not see that option there. You may or may not. The reason I see it there is when we run reporting services setup, we need to register this new type of service application with SharePoint. We need to run a couple of PowerShell commands. We can do that during setup if SharePoint is already installed and configured. So if you install and configure SharePoint first and then run reporting services setup, you should see that there because we were able to register it. If you do it in the opposite order, which is not really the recommended order, and you install reporting services bits first, and SharePoint is not yet installed and configured, we can't run those PowerShell commands, so you will have to run them manually later. Here's how you do that. I'll just go to the start screen here. And you'll run SharePoint 2013 Management Shell, which is a PowerShell console. I'll just give this a sec. Doesn't usually take this long. Come on. There we go. So I just run a couple of magic PowerShell commands. One is install SPRS service, and the other is install SPRS service proxy. Okay? Those are the two commands you run. Now, you could see mine were already installed. There's no harm in running them again. It's an idempotent operation. So here I'm going to create a new reporting services service application. And I'll give it a name. I'll call it reporting services application. You choose an app pool. These are not IIS app pools. Those are for the front-end web server. These are mid-tier service application pools. Just ways of assigning different service applications to run under different identities. I have an existing app pool, but let's create a new one. I'll call it reporting services app pool, and then choose an identity for it to run under. The best practice is to have as much isolation among your service applications as possible, to have them run under different identities so that you can assign them the minimum privileges. In this case, I have an account that I'm using. Then you need to point it at a database server where it can create the reporting services catalog database. In this case, it's on my same machine, so I'm just pointing it to that database server. It's recommended that you use Windows authentication to connect from the service to the database. And then a very important checkbox, this one here, will associate the service application with the front-end web application. I will check that. And this should start creating the service application now. Oh, that's great. Let me try that again. Sorry? I chose the... Yes. No, but I wanted to create a new one. Let's just try that again. Application. Sure. Okay, so we can choose the existing one and then check that box. Click OK. There we go. Not sure what happened the last time, but I must have missed that. But it's important that I check that box because you have the service application that's running on the mid-tier. In order for users to actually hit it through the web front end, it needs to be associated with a front-end web application, one of your ports, port 80, port 81, whatever. And then users will be able to hit it. Otherwise, what you'll end up with is an orphaned service application that is not exposed through any front-end web application. So this usually takes 1 to maybe 3 minutes tops. While we're waiting for that, anybody have any questions at this point that I can answer? Yes, question. So the question is, on which machines do I install reporting services? There are two components of reporting services in SharePoint mode, right? There's the free add-in, and then there's the real engine, which is a service application. Like I said, the add-in, you must install on all front-end web servers. The service application, you only need to install on at least one app server. The benefit of installing it on additional app servers, if you even have multiple app servers, would be for greater scale. Okay. So I've created my service application. Now we'll see it in the list. If I click on it, and I click on System Settings, you'll see a whole bunch of different, it'll take a minute the first time I hit this, but you'll see a whole bunch of settings for the service application. These are some of the things that you used to see in the config file, or you would see them in reporting services configuration tool. Things like, for example, the timeout for executing commands, the timeout for connections, the timeout for reporting services sessions, logging levels and execution logging, enabling and disabling it, all those sorts of settings. So now we've got our service application. One thing that I just want to show you quickly, if I have forgotten to check that box to make the association, if you go to Configure Service Application Associations, you will see your web applications on the left. You'll see I have one. This is an IIS web application on port 80. You'll see the service applications that it is associated with, and you'll see reporting services listed there. If you want to change it, I click on the proxy group here. You'll see that reporting services is checked. If I had forgotten to check that checkbox, I could check it here and fix it. So we've got everything hooked up. At this point, that's basically all there is to getting the engine set up, and I should be able to run reporting services reports against this report server. So let's create a reporting services report. I'll go to a new document in my library, but you'll see that I don't have any options to create reporting services reports, because I need to add some content types to this library. I want to use this library to create reports and data sources, so I need to add those content types to this library. So I will go to Library Settings. This doesn't seem to want to click on that. Huh. Library. It will not click on that tab. Let's give this 1 sec. I think it's just hung on me a little bit. I'm running SharePoint and everything on a VM on my laptop, so it's not the speediest sometimes. I find it can freeze up sometimes. Just give this a minute. Okay, library, there we go. Library settings. And you'll see nothing here, no section where I can configure additional content types, because for whatever reason, SharePoint by default does not display configuration of content types by default. So if I click on Advanced Settings here in the library settings, the first option is to allow management of content types. Yes, I want to do that. So click Yes, click OK. And now I'll see a new section in here for managing content types. You'll see the only one that is listed is documents. I want to add some additional ones. So I'll click Add from Existing Site Content Types. And if I go down, I'll see Report Builder Report. That's a classic RS report. I want to add that. I may also want to be able to create reporting services shared data sources from right within the library, so I'll add Report Data Source. And I will also add BI Semantic Model Connection, which is another type of connection file that's installed through the PowerPivot add-in. And it's useful for PowerView or for Excel, so I'll add that as well. One that you'll notice I did not add was Report Builder Model. That's a semantic model definition language. The reason I'm not adding that is because it is a deprecated technology. It was deprecated in SQL Server 2012. Those reports that execute against those models will continue to work. What the recommendation is move as quickly as you can over to the BI semantic model, which is the replacement. So I'll click OK. And I'll go back to my document library. And if I go to Files now, you will see under New Documents, I have all those types, those content types now. Now, by the way, another hiccup that can happen sometimes is if you go to add content types and you don't see the reporting services content types there, it probably indicates that the SharePoint features are not activated. We were not able to automatically activate them during setup. Here's how you do that if that happens. You go to Settings for your SharePoint site, and you go to Site Settings. And then you go to Site Collection Administration, not Site Settings, because these are site collection level features. And then you go to Site Collection Features, and you will see a listing of site collection features. You will see one for Report Server Integration feature. If we look over, it says deactivated because it's already active, so we're good. There's also one called PowerView Integration feature. If you want to use PowerView, both of those need to be activated. So usually they're automatically activated as part of setup. In case they're not, here's where you go to set them up. So now let's create a basic reporting services report to make sure that everything is working. I'll go to New Document, I'll create a Report Builder report. And what this will do is it will launch the Report Builder Click Once application. And there we go, so I'll run that. It's going to download it. So you can install Report Builder from download.microsoft.com as a fully installed thick client application. But you can also deploy it to your users via click once from the report server. The benefit of doing so is that it's kept in sync and is kept updated with respect to the report server that it's connecting to. So when you install hot fixes or cumulative updates or service packs to your report server, there may also be fixes and patches for Report Builder. And when you install those patches, your users, when they run Report Builder against that report server, will automatically check every time if there are any updates, and they'll be automatically patched. So here I've run Report Builder. Let's just create a basic report to make sure that we've got everything running. What I'm going to do here is say report executed at, and then I'll insert a placeholder here, and we'll put in the time that the report was executed, the execution time. And we can make sure that the report is actually being rendered live. This is the first time we're going to hit our report server that we've just created, just instantiated, so it's going to be a bit of a delay. But here we should now see, yes, report executed today at 12:39 p.m. So that is running against the report server, seems to be working fine. Let's actually deploy this to SharePoint. I'll just save it. It's going to go to my SharePoint site and get the folder listing. I'll go to Shared Documents, and we'll call it, Hello World or something like that. We'll save it up there and give this a minute to save to SharePoint. And if I go now back to my SharePoint site and I refresh this, I should see my new report that I've uploaded there. There we go, Hello World. So let's run it in the browser just to make sure we're running it on the report server and it's actually running against the engine. Looks like it's working. If I hit refresh, you'll see the time is updating. This is actually rendering live. So we're good. Now, What about Power View? So if I go up here to Files, and I go to New Document, you will notice we do not see any content type for creating a Power View report, because the way you create a Power View report is a little bit different. You don't create a report and then go and find your data sources. The way you launch Power View standalone outside of Excel is your entry point is a data source. It is a connection file. You have to click on the connection file to launch the application. So here, for example, I have a BI semantic model connection. If I just click on this, the default action is to launch Power View. It's going to launch our Power View Silverlight application. If it did not, again, it probably suggests that my SharePoint feature, the Power View integration feature, is not activated. So it seems to be, so I've loaded the Silverlight application just fine. Let's make sure that we run a query and that we actually get results so that it's actually going all the way through the engine and everything is working. So I'm just going to pick a few fields here. Let's count this up as a measure, convert it to a line chart. And there we go. We've got a basic Power View visual created. It's actually running the DAX query, so everything is good. The final piece of the puzzle here is Excel 2013 workbooks that have Power View sheets in them. I wonder whether we have to do anything additional to hook up Excel services and reporting services so that they're aware of each other and those things work. So here I have a workbook authored in Excel 2013 on the desktop with Power View sheets in it that connected the embedded model. I'll click on it, and it will open up in Excel Web Access. It's the first time I'm hitting Excel services as well, so it's a little bit slow the first time. But this should come up any minute. And I've saved this report or this workbook with the Power View sheet selected. So here we are. We're loading the Power View Silverlight application within Excel Web Access. And let's see whether the queries are going to succeed. So it's loaded the report definition, and it's just run the queries, and everything seems to be working fine. You can switch to another Power View sheet and, you know, click on something to get cross-filtering and interactivity. Everything's working. Question? Yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Okay, so the question was, do you need Excel 2013 installed on your client machine? So to view this, what I've just done right now, no, I don't need Excel at all on my desktop. But to actually author this, I can't author this inside the browser in Excel Web Access. This is a read-only experience. So to have authored these workbooks with Power View Sheets, yes, I need Excel 2013 Pro Plus on my desktop. Yeah. So you will notice that I didn't have to do any extra setup to register reporting services and Excel services together. The reason is when we install reporting services and install the feature in SharePoint, we register a couple of global farm properties that says, here's where you can find reporting services. And then Excel services, when you open this up, looks for those same properties, and that's how it finds it. So we're good. I'll just switch back to my slides here. Now, you might think, we've got classic reporting services reports working, we've got standalone Power View reports working, and we've got Power View Sheets and Excel services working. It seems like we've got everything working. We're done, right? Well, not so fast, because I just showed you one Excel services authentication scenario, the one in which a Power View Sheet is connecting to the embedded data model in that same workbook. The Power View Sheet could also be connecting to an external database, and the options that you have for configuring how that works, there are at least three different options, and you need to make sure that all of that is set up and working properly. So this is the security part of the presentation. In that scenario, the one that I just ran, here's what happens. I'm connecting to the embedded data model. The way that SharePoint authentication works, the way that your client application authenticates to the front end may be configured in different ways. It could be using Windows authentication. It could be using forms authentication. But either way, when it hits the front end web server, what happens is it gets converted to claims. SharePoint internally uses claims authentication. So it could be a forms-based authentication claims that you're getting. It could be a Windows claims, but you're getting some kind of claims token. And that's what flows from the web server to the app server. So the reporting services engine, what comes in as the authentication token is claims. So we have to use that somehow to authenticate to the data source that we're connecting to. So for the embedded data model, what we do is we use the claims, we pass that to Excel services, and we say, we want to connect to the data model in this workbook. We have the workbook URL. Can you tell us whether this claims on the thread has permission to view that workbook and the data model inside it? Excel services will say, yes, they do, or no, they don't. And if they do, we say, well, tell us where you stream the model, and then we will go and connect to that model. Because we've already authorized the user, we do not need to delegate the identity at this point to that database. What we do is we revert to our process account, and we use that process account to connect to that database because we've already authorized the user. That, in order for that to work, the reporting services account that it runs under must be configured as an administrator on the AS instance. Here's where it gets more interesting when you talk about external data model connections. When you create an external connection in a workbook in Excel, there's a little button that you can go in and say, configure how this is going to work and how this is going to authenticate in Excel services. And you have three options. And this is the default one. The default one is to try and delegate the authenticated user's identity, that is the identity of the user who's actually logged into SharePoint, to delegate that identity another hop to the end data source. This is really the preferred option because in some cases that database may have role-based security and it may do role-level filtering. It may return different data to different users. In order for that to work, you have to tell that database what is the user that I'm connecting as so that it knows how to filter the data. That's what you ideally want. That's why it's the default. But there are some requirements for getting that set up. And if you can't do that, what some people do is they use one of the other options. One of the other options is stored account, which uses stored credentials. If you're familiar with stored credentials in reporting services, you know that we store usernames and passwords inside the reporting services catalog encrypted. That is not how it works in Excel services because this is an Excel services feature, not a reporting services feature, and they use a different credential store. They use one that is actually not specific to Excel. It's a feature of SharePoint called Secure Store Service. The reason that we don't use Secure Store Service in reporting services, by the way, is that, number one, we weren't originally built integrated in SharePoint. We were built for native mode, so we can't depend on SharePoint. And number two, even when we built SharePoint integrated mode, Secure Store did not exist. So Excel services stores it in Secure Store, and what you can do is you can specify an application ID. If you're familiar with Secure Store at all, you have the concept of a target application. That's basically a set of credentials, a set of credentials that are stored for a particular use. You give the ID of that target application, and we'll try and get those credentials and then use those to connect to the data source. Your final option is none, which isn't really none. What happens is Excel services uses a specific designated target application ID in Secure Store known as the Excel services unattended service account. It's your kind of last resort. If you can't flow the user's identity at all, and you can't use their identity to look up anything in Secure Store, you don't have a specific Secure Store target application, it all falls back to this. We'll try and look at up a specific target application and just try those credentials. Here's how it works with the authenticated user flow, with a default option. We get the claims that identify the user logging to SharePoint coming in, and then we need to connect to analysis services. Analysis services does not support claims. It only supports Windows authentication, so we need to give it somehow a Windows token. How do we convert the user's identity from a claims token to a Windows token? There's a service that does this. It's very creatively named. It's called the Claims to Windows Token service. It does exactly what the name suggests. It converts the claims to a Windows token. Obviously, that only works if it's Windows claims, if your SharePoint web application is configured for Windows authentication. So that is a requirement here. Now, the other thing here is if the SharePoint farm and your database server are not on the same machine, but they're on different physical tiers, you have what we call a double hop. The identity of the user is taking a double hop, one hop from the client to the SharePoint farm, and a second hop from the SharePoint farm to the database server. Anytime you try and delegate an identity over a second hop like that, you need some sort of delegation, identity delegation infrastructure, the preferred one being Kerberos. You need to configure Kerberos constrained delegation. That can be kind of tricky to set up. It is the best practice to set it up. But if you can't for some reason, there is a fallback option, which is called effective username. There's a connection string property in analysis services where you can connect on the thread, technically, as an AS admin but put this connection string property that says effective username equals so-and-so, the user logged into SharePoint. So although I'm connecting as an administrator, run under the security context of this other user who's logged into SharePoint and run the queries as if I were them and give me the data that they should see. So you can configure that as a fallback option in Excel services. Here's that option. It's new in Excel services in SharePoint 2013. You go to Excel services service application settings, and you can check that box in the middle there that says use the effective username property. Only do that if you do not have Kerberos. Here's how Secure Store works. Again, we get claims coming in. Again, I need to connect to analysis services using a Windows token. But what I'm going to do, the diagram might look very similar, but what I'm going to do is quite different. I'm not going to try and take the user's claims identity and convert it into the equivalent Windows identity. What I'm going to do instead is use their identity to look up in Secure Store with the specified target application credentials, Windows credentials, that have been granted to me. So they're not necessarily an equivalent identity, but it's just a username and password that has been granted to me for my use and possibly many other people's use. And then you have the final option, the unattended service account. For this to work, again, we're connecting to analysis services. We need a Windows token. We're going to look up in Secure Store the unattended service account. But everybody's going to get the same set of credentials. Everybody has access to this. It doesn't matter who the user is. So we're not even going to look at the claims of the user coming in. But we still need some identity to go and do this Secure Store lookup. And this is where this is one of the more complicated scenarios in terms of infrastructure. Here's how it works. Excel Services uses its service account to go and do that lookup. So that it owns this target application. You configure it through Excel, and it uses its service account to go and look up those credentials. In reporting services, we don't use our service account. We have our own legacy thing that we call the unattended execution account. We impersonate that account and use that account to go and look up the Excel credentials. So that account, the unattended execution account, needs to be granted permission to access those credentials. Otherwise, it will not work. So with that, I'll head into a demo to show you how to configure those things. So here I have those same workbooks. Let's look at the authenticated user workbook. I have different workbooks that are configured to use the different credential authentication options. This one uses authenticated user, which means it will use either Kerberos or effective username for delegation. So I'll click on that. It opens up in Excel services, and everything seems fine. If I switch over to PowerView, it prompts me to refresh the connection, which I'll do. This will load PowerView. And that worked. The reason it worked is that I'm running everything on one machine, so I don't have that double hop, and I don't need Kerberos. If I did have a separate machine, I would get a Kerberos delegation error, and I would need to configure either Kerberos or the effective username option. But let's try Secure Store. In this case, I've configured this application to go and look up the credentials in a target application ID called healthcare. This is a healthcare data set. Everything seems fine, right? Here's the thing. Excel services, when it renders pivot tables, when you open them up by default, this is not actually running the query. It's running against the pivot table cache. To really see whether this is really working, I'd have to refresh the connection. And when I do that, this is going to give me an error. And it's not the most helpful error, unfortunately. I have to go and dig up the details and logs. It turns out if I go to the PowerView sheet, it will give me more diagnostic information and I'll get a better error. So it gave me an error, and if I show the details and I look down, I'll zoom in on this. It says, cannot retrieve credentials from Secure Store, target application not found. The application ID is healthcare. That's what I configured in the workbook. Let's look at Secure Store. Duplicate this, and let's go to my service application settings and look at Secure Store. And here are the target applications that are configured. Power Pivot, as part of its setup, automatically created one, but otherwise we have nothing else, and we certainly don't have anything that I've created called healthcare. So we need to create that. Create a new target application. We'll call it healthcare. It makes me enter a contact email, so I'll just enter a fake one. And then it asks me for a target application type. You'll see individual and group. The difference here is with group, Everybody that I grant permissions to these credentials will get the same set of credentials back. That means they'll all see the same data. With individual, I can assign a bunch of people in my company membership and permission to retrieve credentials from this target application, but I can assign them all different credentials. Maybe different groups in Active Directory, different credentials, so they can get different permissions back and see different data. In this case, they can all see the same data in my case, so I'm just going to choose group. If you're wondering what ticket and restricted mean, ticketing is a feature of Secure Store. I won't go into it in depth, but it is not supported by Excel services, is not supported by reporting services. It will work, but we don't take advantage of the ticketing mechanism, so there's no benefit in choosing it. The restricted option, another feature of Secure Store we don't support, that one actually will not work, so don't choose that option. So I'll click Next. Then it asks me, what kind of credentials do you want to store? I want to store Windows username and password, which are the default. I'll click Next. Then it asks me, who owns this target application? Who can administer it? Well, that's me, the administrator. So click OK. And then the members. The members are the people who have permission to retrieve these credentials. So I'll say, in my case, everybody in the company, domain users. And I'll click OK. Now, let's go back to Excel Web Access. Let's refresh. And let's go to Power View again. I want to refresh the workbook. It should work now, right? Because we created, it does not work. The reason it doesn't work is because we've created a target application, but if you notice, we didn't actually put any credentials in it. We didn't store any credentials. So it says credentials were not found for the current user in that target application. So you actually have to go to your target application, click on it, and say set the credentials. Because it's a group target application, there's just one set of credentials for everyone. And I've got to make sure that I type this correctly, because at Tech at North America, I typed the password wrong twice. I don't know how I managed to do that. So let's make sure I type it incorrectly. Type it correctly. Healthcare user is my username. And make sure I type the password in correctly. Now I've set the credentials. Let's give it another try. Hopefully it should work this time if I can type. It's got a power view. Refresh. Yes, it worked this time. Okay, so that's how you set up Secure Store for specific target applications. The final scenario here is the unattended service account, the most complicated one to set up. I click on this. Again, I will try to refresh. And this time, Excel Services at least gives me a more helpful error. It says the data connection uses none as the external authentication method, but the unattended service account in Excel has not been set up. Okay, so sure, we need to go and set that up. If I go to Service Application Management, let's go to Excel Services this time, go to the global settings for Excel Services. Here's that effective username property that I mentioned, by the way. And here's where you can create the unattended service account. There's none already created, so I'm going to create one for the first time. And I have an account that I've created, an AD account. And I called it XLS for Excel Services Unattended. Carefully typed password. And click OK. Let's see what that did. I'll refresh Secure Store. You'll see that it just created another target application called Excel Services Unattended Service Account. And it put that XLS unattended username and password in there. That I've previously granted permission to my database, so that should now work. Let's refresh this page. And now let's refresh in Excel. And in the case of Excel refresh, no news is good news. You will not get any message or anything that it succeeded or any indication. If you don't get an error, then it worked. If I go to Power View, let's make sure the Power View sheet works. It does not work because there's an additional requirement for reporting services. It says the report server unattended execution account, our own unattended account, is not configured. It needs to be configured and it needs to be granted access to get those credentials from the same target application. So, let's go and look at that. I'll go to service applications again. This time, go to reporting services. You'll see a section here specifically for that execution account. I'll click on that. There's none specified, so let's specify it now. My account here is SQL RS unattended. Again, you'll notice the best practice is to create separate accounts for all of these things. I'll click OK. And while that's creating it, it's not enough to just create that account. That account is the one we're going to try and use to go and access that target application. So let's make sure it has permissions to do so. Here I'll click on the target application that Excel created. It's not aware of reporting services really or anything like that, so it probably didn't go ahead and automatically grant me access. Probably got to do it manually. Let's see what it created. So I'll go to the next step. It forces me to enter the contact email, so let's do that again. You'll see that it created a group application. And next, Windows username and password. Sure enough, who did it put as the members? Only the Excel services service account. It didn't grant any access to reporting services because it's not aware of it. So what we need to add here is that we'll also grant permission to SQL RS unattended. Make sure that works. Click OK. Make sure that that unattended account was created. It was. So now the PowerView sheet should work as well. Let's do a refresh. Let's go to the PowerView sheet. Allow it to refresh. It's the first time we're going to log in as the reporting services unattended account, so it may take a little bit longer than usual, but it should work. Now it's running the query, and it worked. So we've got all the scenarios working. So with that, I'll just switch back to my slides. That's everything I have for you today. I hope that you got a lot out of this session. I have one request of you, which is please, please, please scan this code now or later go outside to one of the booths and fill out an evaluation. Tell us whether this session was helpful, what you really liked, and what you'd like to see added or changed. And with that, I will take any questions that you have. Thank you very much.